Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. It's good to see the sun. It's good to see green grass. It's good to be here on this Lord's Day to celebrate God together. And I see a couple of people who've come back from beyond. Welcome back, Kevin and Annie. And anyone else who's visiting or has been away, we welcome you today. This is our third installment of Conversations with God, which is about prayer. Now, let's look at so far what we've done. First, we looked at the fact that the basis of our life with God and with prayer is conversation, being with Him, being open and honest to our Father. It's not a one-way street. It's not a monologue. It is a conversation with God. And second, last week we looked into Scripture to learn about prayer from some of the saints of God, some of the scriptural. And look, there's so many prayers in the Bible, we could pick out many of them to talk about what prayer is. But we studied how they prayed and how to imitate them. Elements of what prayer is, in rejoicing and praising God and in confession and in bringing our needs to Him and those sorts of things. Now today, we're going to talk about, I think, one of the most important parts of conversation, listening, in order to respond. There is something more powerful than talking to God, and it is listening to Him. So let's look at what listening is all about. Do you ever struggle to hear God? You know, I think every one of us, if according to what you've said to me, would be going, yes, we struggle to hear God. Do you sometimes feel like you're just talking into thin air? You don't know, I mean, He's invisible. Where is this going? Do you want to hear God speak to you, but you don't know how to go about that, or what you should expect? I think it's harder for us to learn how to listen than it is to learn how to speak. Have you ever wondered how it is that mothers always seem to know their baby's cry in the midst of 10 other babies crying in the same room? Have you ever thought of how a conductor of a symphony orchestra could tell that one violin in the section of 8 others was out of tune or played a wrong note? I was intrigued many, many years ago by a diesel mechanic in Western Australia. We had always had four-wheel drives that were diesel. And we always took, while we were lived there, we always took our vehicle to this certain person, young man who was a diesel mechanic. And we would come in, and I talked to him. He was a friend of ours, and I talked to him, and he said, you know, he said, I can tell what's wrong by listening. He said, I just turn the motor on, and I listen, and I can pick out what's wrong. He had learned to do that. Have you ever wondered how a bird watcher in the woods learns to tell the call of all the birds, and even be able to go out in the midst of all this chatter of birds, pick out the call of one and say, that's a whatever it is? It's amazing. And then there was a man once who had just achieved something really wonderful for God, really miraculous. He was quite pleased with himself. But there was a bit of niggle in his heart because someone in power criticized him after this miracle. So even though he'd been on a high, have you ever been there on a high with God? Now he was on a low and decided to get out of town. He sulked for a while and eventually sought to hear God, to get back to that good feeling he had. So he went up a mountain. You know, we always go up a mountain, even figuratively speaking, to try to get closer to God. So maybe he was trying to get closer to God. But he encountered a storm on the mountain, and in the thunder and the lightning and all the noise, he thought, well, maybe God's talking to me. He really wanted God to tell him loud and clear what the plan was. Oh, sounds like all of us, you know. Just knock me on the head, God, and I'll do what you want. But nope, God wasn't going to do this. And in this man's heart, he felt drawn to the mouth of the little place he was hiding in, away from the rain and hailstones. And when he got to the edge, he heard a whisper. And he drew nearer to that whisper. It was a low whisper, a gentle blowing. He had to incline his ear toward the whisper. It was the voice of God. And that man was Elijah. Let's pray. Father, we live in a world that is so noisy. We live in a world that is chaotic. We live in a world with news that comes from every part and parcel, and they all think the other one is fake. Lord, we don't know what or who to listen to, but you have spoken to us, and as Christians, your voice should be louder than any others in our lives. And maybe not louder, it's we need to listen for you in the midst of all. Help us to learn to do that today. Help us to be committed to doing that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in the field of communication, there's been lots of books written about listening. You can go to seminars, you can go to workshops, you can read books on active listening. Anyone who wants to be a counselor and goes to study has to learn about active listening. But you don't see many books on active talking. Actually, we don't need those because we know. So in any communication transaction, listening is equally important as talking, if not more so. In fact, sometimes we can say we are hearing someone, but not really listening to them. This happens in our families all the time. We can say teenagers have selective listening or selective hearing. We can say husbands have selective hearing. Wives have selective hearing. We read a number of times when Jesus says throughout the scripture, those who have an ear to hear, let them listen. In other words, those who have an ear to hear God, pay attention. Not just listen and go out. Pay attention and then obey. When God speaks, he wants us to obey. When we don't, then sometimes we stop listening to him or even hearing him. See, if God speaks to me about something and I do not do it, I do not follow through, I do not desire it, eventually he's going to stop talking. He said, you don't really want to hear me anyway. You only want to hear what you want to hear. And see, this is the problem you and I have. We want to hear what we want to hear. All the years I've done counseling with individuals and particularly with married couples, I know this for an absolute fact, and you guys know almost all of my counseling has been with Christians. And Christians are just want what they want just as much as anyone else. They want to hear what they want to hear. So if a counselor, a spiritual mentor, a guide, or anybody else tells you some hard truths, we don't want to listen. We cancel it out. That's why we cancel out some of the Word of God. See? We only want the good stuff. Or good according to us. So, isn't it interesting that when you talk with your husband or your wife or your children, if you're astute, you will know when they've tuned out. You know, preachers learn that, by the way. Preachers learn that. Teachers. I've been a teacher and a preacher all my adult life, which is a long time. And I can look and I can tell when people have tuned out. That's why I like to have this little thing so I can go, you know. This is nothing new. 50 years ago, when I was teaching high school, I used to walk right into the kids' faces. Because it's a communication. It's a relationship. It's not about somebody standing from afar, you know, giving out these great words. We're talking about God here, our Father. We're talking about our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And we're all His kids. So we're all brothers and sisters together. But we understand in the definition and the call to prayer that it's more than talking. And when it comes to a relationship with God our Father and our Lord, our Savior, our friend, we need to listen more. So what keeps us from it? What keeps us from this? One of the great lessons that we can learn from desert fathers. Anybody ever heard of desert fathers? If you've studied the history of the church, if you've studied classical Christianity or some of the writings that were in the beginning of the church back in 1st, 2nd, 3rd century and on in the before the Reformation, desert fathers were men who and women who went out into quietness and stillness and listen to God, and many of the books and devotional materials were written from that. And they had a really good handle on solitude with God, how to have solitude with God, how to be still, how to seek Him and how to listen to Him. But fast forward to today's world. Many obstacles and distractions. Some psychologists, in their writing today, call this age the age of distraction or the age of interruption. There's actually something called, and I looked it up, interruption science, which has shown that we experience interruption in our lives every 3 minutes. Interruption from our mind, interruption from outdoors, car starting up, whatever. And we allow our minds to get distracted through all of that. For the past 30 years or more, there's an acoustic ecologist. I just ran across him, and I would love to read more, named Gordon Hempton, H-E-M-P-T-O-N, has put together a list of the last great quiet places on earth. At the last counting, there are only 12. And these places had to have at least 15 minutes of uninterrupted quiet during the daylight hours. Gordon says that quiet is the think tank of the soul. He argues that the omnipresence of man-made noise is altering not only nature itself, but the way we interact with our environment and with each other. By living with constant noise pollution, we are not receiving all the information that would allow us to come up with innovative solutions for the problems of our time. His work is really fascinating and can account for some of our modern problems of listening and hearing, not only for each other, but within ourselves and with God. You've all heard of white noise. White noise is defined as 20,000 tones all at the same time. You can tell I did my scientific research here, a little bit. It masks out all other sounds. So it's difficult to hear any certain frequency, especially the still, small voice of God. Some say that chronic noise may be the greatest implement to our spiritual growth. I have heard fellow Christians say, well, if God would just tell me what to do, I'd do it. Why doesn't He speak louder? Well, I believe He is speaking to us, and we just don't hear Him. Because maybe we don't want to hear Him. Maybe we're not even giving Him the opportunity to speak to us. And we collude with this aspect of distraction. How many of us keep our phones on the table when we go out to eat? or when you have a conversation with a friend. So you're inviting distraction. Why keep the phone there? You know, my daughter would say it's FOMO, fear of missing out. So we want, because we have grown up and known and colluded into this situation of I always need to be on, I always need to be connected, I always need this and this and this. And so if that is our down deep thing, we don't take time to listen to God. And that's why we don't hear the still small voice. We only want to listen to the loud voice. And you know what? God is a gentleman. He's loving. He's kind. And he doesn't want to speak in a loud voice all the time. He wants to speak in a whisper. I know that today, most of you here maybe have the Bible on your phone. And that's okay. I'm not, you know, if that's what people want to do, fine. I cannot ever get rid of my Bible that's real, and I can touch it, and I can smell it, and I can feel it, and all that kind of stuff. And by the way, it's so much better than a phone because I can look at this verse and that verse and that verse all at the same time without having changed screens. But the thing is, as you sit there and you look at the Bible here, and what do you see? Ding! Message from Joe Schmo in Kokomo. Ding! A little thing from there. Ding! Buy this. Do this. Ding! You've spent too much time on Facebook. Bing! You know? And so you're sitting there, and I'm trying to give the Word of God, and you're like, oh, this is interesting. So whatever I've said has gone somewhere out into the ether. See? So what I'm saying is, you want to hear God? Listen. Want to. You know, we sang, as the deer pants for the water, the desires. You are the desire of my heart. Really? Really? God says to us, really? You desire me? Where have you been? Where have you been? All I get is a laundry list of what I need to do for you. See? Now, he wants to hear those things, and he wants to answer our prayers. But from the very beginning, why were we created? It says because he wants relationship with us. We are made in the image of God so he can hang out with us. He said from the very beginning, I want to live with you. I want to dwell with you. I want to live in your same house. I want to talk to you. I can tell you, you husbands and wives, if you just pass each other in the darkness of the night and you never sit down and really have a conversation, let me ask you, where's your relationship? It ain't there, baby. Not what God wants. And this is what we can do. This is what we do to each other. We buy into the noise pollution and the distractions of this world, and we do not listen to God our Father, who could help us in so many ways. So what do we do? What do we do? Let's say you and I really in our hearts, sitting here today, really right now, in your heart, you say, I don't want that. I really want to hear God. I really want to be in a good relationship. I really want to be deeper in my relationship. So, what do we do? Well, guess what? In our society today, you and I have to actively seek the silence in order to find God. You might think that the persecuted countries of the world where Christians are being killed at a greater rate than we were ever thinking, our spiritual life is being killed right here in the Western world by noise pollution. And in Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis would be saying that the devil is going, hee hee hee, got him. Just throw them more distractions, more movies, more noise, more this, more that, and they won't even listen to God. Silence is anything but passive waiting. It is proactive listening. Henry Nouwen, that great Christian author and spiritual mentor, said that silence is an act of war against the competing voices within us. It's a daily battle. Now, if I want to say this, if you and I do not agree with that, or we say, oh, whoa, then we haven't got it. We haven't got that sensitivity toward God. If we don't realize we're in a war, and that we collude in the war. He believed that every time you listen with great attentiveness to the voice that calls you his beloved, you will then desire to hear the voice longer and more deeply. When you learn God speaking to you, and I'm not talking about in big miracles, I'm talking about in small little whispers, like Elijah, little whispers. When you learn that, you want it more. You want it. It's like that's the deer panting after the water. That's what that means. You want it. And so you will go toward it. Every couple in here and others that I've married or I've listened to as they court each other and stuff, they want each other. They want to get together. They want to look in each other's eyes. They want to sit in silence and have a yum cha. They want to do these things. Do you and I want to do that with God? Or do we consider this just our Christian duty, and this is what we need to do, and basically I'm just there to tell God what I want? But is it more than that? Is it so much so that you really want to spend time singing to him, even if it's an off-key voice? If you're in your shower or your bathroom, nobody cares. God cares, though. So Henry Nguyen, he was saying that means practice. Practice. Proactively. The bird watcher doesn't just hear the bird he's looking for the first time he goes out in the woods. He has to do it over and over. So we can learn that little squeak. The mother learns over time to distinguish her child's cry. Not the first time, 2 minutes after the birth. But over a period of time learns. The conductor has years of practice tuning in to each instrument so that he can make that orchestra work well together. They had to work at it. They had to be attuned to what they wanted to hear. Sometimes people say, yeah, I want to hear God. So, okay, 5 minutes, God, that's what you got. Don't. No, I didn't hear anything. So, that's it, you know. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. This is practice of a lifetime, my friends. Practice of a lifetime. In our society where distraction and noise works against us, we have to do the battle. We have to seek that silent place. Now, get this picture. Husband and wife, man and woman, in love. Sitting in a cafe. So you watch them for a while. And they're sitting there and they're sipping their coffee and stuff. And then you see their heads come together. Oh, they're whispering sweet nothings in each other's ear. Or maybe they're bringing up an argument, I don't know. But they're leaning close together so they can hear. Because it's a special conversation. It's a special moment with them, between them. Do you ever lean into God? That's what he wants to do. He says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. He wants to lean together, his head and your head, his voice and your voice. Together, see? In order to have that closeness, the person had to lean in to the other person. That is what God wants us to lean in to him, to hear him. He wants that intimacy. That's how much he loves you. I want to ask you deep in your heart, do you sense intimacy with God? Or is it out here on the surface, You know, it's a duty to come to church, to be act like a Christian, to do all these things, to have a quiet time, to read your Bible, to do all the things. But I want to ask you, can you say in your heart, I really have an intimacy with God? Only you can answer that. And only God can answer it. So if you have any little smidgen of a doubt, or you're at a certain level or certain place and you want to be more, then go for it. Proactively listen. Proactively put yourself in places where you start to hear God. And you start to listen. And you listen for, and I'm going to tell you more about that as we go on. Okay. So in Isaiah 30 verse 21, it says, your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. A wonderful example, another example from Scripture, is young Samuel was hearing a voice call and eventually said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Later on, we read in Samuel, it says this, a testimony. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. Samuel grew up, and he never let any of God's words fall to the ground. Wow. Young people, Samuel was a kid. And he said in the middle of the night, Lord, speak to me. I'm listening. And God continued to grow him and continued to speak to him in the deepest of ways. Okay, so what can we do? What can we do? John 15, Jesus said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, then ask whatever you will and it will be done for you. Now we read that and we say, woohoo! Ask whatever I will and it'll be done for me. There's a phrase before that. If you abide in me and I abide in you. Now, I've used this before, I think, but this is, you know, the little nesting dolls? Okay. This is an imperfect example. Every earthly example is an imperfect one when it comes to describing the Word of God. But what it says, if you abide in me and I abide in you. Okay? So, we look at this that, I've got to get the right ones here. Yeah. All right. Christ abides in me. Okay? We know that. You've been baptized. You've been born again. Christ abides in you. So, this little person is walking around and Jesus is with them all the time. All the time. Every time. Everywhere I go. Jesus is talking to me. Jesus is my friend. He's my buddy. He's my pal. He's my spirit. See? And it says, and you abide in me. He's there, we're there, and he's also here. If, Jesus says this, if that's the way you are, then ask, and I will answer. Scripture that everybody likes to use. If you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. We use it wrong. Because everybody really likes the he will give you the desires of your heart. Woohoo, they really like that one. They go, if you delight in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. No. Let's back up the first part. If you delight yourself in the Lord. What happens is, his desires become yours. And you'll always answer his desires. Do you want your desires to become like Jesus's. That's your choice. God will never be a rough gentleman. No domestic violence in God. He's not going to take your arm and break it. He's not going to force you. He gently talks to you. He gently tells you. So, in the context, and this is just a few thoughts for you. And by the way, before I do that, I just want to point out that you have a handout. If you take the last three, if you take the one that I gave out, and it's on the internet under sermons, if anybody missed out, the first one, be still and know that I'm God, there's a reflection. You should be growing in this. This is everything that we as pastors can do except to live inside you. To give you the opportunity to say, I want to grow in this. So it's a little step. And then the second one, last week Luke brought out all the things that he discussed and the points. So you can review those and pray over them and desire to grow in them. And this week, listening to God's whispers, it's things that you can do, can pray. It's only 5 minutes, only a few minutes. I hope people would spend more time than that, that you would value God more than that. So, how can God speak to us? So, I'm listening. Well, most of the time, when I'm praying, and I'm spending time with God, I'm not going to hear some great earth-shaking thing. But because God is living in me, he can answer that prayer anytime. He can speak to that situation anytime. But the point is, are we listening? So what things can we listen for? Well, one, and the biggest one, is Scripture. Because when we start reading Scripture, and when we read it that week, or that month, or whatever it is, one day we may, our eyes fall upon a reading or something, and we go, aha, that's what I've been praying about. That's what I've been seeking. And God speaks to you. But again, do we read Scripture as a duty, and oh, I've done this Bible plan for this week? Tick, tick, tick. Or have I meditated on it? Have I let it soak in? Have I asked God to speak to me through it? It's the biggest way that God speaks to us, is through his word. Scripture is God-breathed. So definitely it's his word. The second thing, and these are secondary ways, but they are also ways in which God speaks to us, is our desires. And the Scripture tells us that. If we delight in our Lord, in the Lord, if we begin to delight and say, God, yes, I want you, I want you, I want your will in my life, and really mean it, then your desires will start to change. And all of a sudden, you'll have a desire to speak to the person that you didn't want to be around. Or you have a desire to do something for a neighbor. Or you have a desire to go in a certain direction. Because God, by his Holy Spirit, if you have the Holy Spirit, then he changes this. He works in it. He's transforming. Then there are open doors and closed ones. Now, we don't all, again, none of these are a sign in itself. It's when a number of these things happen, or if they align with Scripture. But sometimes God can close doors. You're applying for 5 jobs and 3 of them close. And maybe one of them was what you really wanted, but others open. So if I'm really wanting what God wants, then I will go with what he's doing in my life. Sometimes I've wanted to speak to somebody about an issue. And my normal thing is I like to get things done right away. And I want to go, pew, boom, you know, and God goes, stop. I want you to think, I want you to pray, I want you to wait, I want you to wait, I want you to wait, I want you to wait. And then maybe later on, 1 year, 2, 10, he says, okay, now you can do that. I've learned to you know. And Paul did too. Remember, he really wanted to go to Macedonia. He really wanted to go to somebody somewhere else. And God said, God always gives us when the timing is right. And we live again in this impatient world that we want things right away. We live in an impatient world that wants us to be controlling. You know what? Our gut reaction when everything is in chaos is to control. We want to control information. We want to control situations. We want to control people. I come back again to our study last year of Revelation. You and I, my friends, my brothers and sisters here, you and I know that whether it's now, in a few years, or 1,000, that the world as we know it is going to destroy itself. And God's kingdom will come. And in our study, it said that these things that we're facing, even now, there's been viruses and plagues as long as the people have been alive. If you look at the history, there has been millions in the Black Plague and Spanish flu and all that kind of stuff over many, many generations. And we know that these things are going to get worse, not better. And so the message of Revelation was, where do you stand? Stand with me. I will give you what you need, even if it's to your death. Because we know where we're going. We know we're going to be in eternity in a most wonderful place. I'm not saying that death is to be to smile about. But I'm saying what God meant in the book of Revelation is trust in the midst of fear. That's why people didn't like to study Revelation. It was too fearful. But I think we studied it and we're rejoicing. And saying, wow, okay. Praise God. So, and then there are dreams. God can speak in dreams. Either in the night or in the day. You know, a daydream or a vision. Many stories abound with this. You can look into Christian history, missionary history. Many people have had dreams that either prepared them. Many Muslim people are coming to know the Lord because of dreams, that Jesus appears to them in dreams, and then later on somebody comes and presents the gospel. Now, it doesn't mean that every dream, if a dream is a nightmare, well, that's not from God. So these, and then there are in our lives. So sometimes I've been praying about something or thinking about something with God, and then somebody comes and shares something with me. It could be a Christian sharing something. It could be a Christian talking about their own life, but something they say goes boing, penetrates in my heart. And because I'm listening 24/7, I'm listening for God, then God can speak to me in any of these ways. It even could be a non-Christian, or I could be in a movie. And some little thing that happens is, wow, okay. See? God uses our whole being and all of the things around us to speak to us. And then the last one is, probably not the last one, but the one I'm going to share, is the promptings of the Spirit within our own heart. The little nudges like this. It's like I'm sitting somewhere and I see a young woman sad over there, and I'm reading my book or I'm getting ready to do something, and there's not a scripture that comes to me. There's not a knock on the head. There's not a dream or a vision. But there's a little tick, nudge. Tick, tick. Look over there. Tick, tick. Why don't you go and say, are you okay? Little nudges. These are the way that we can listen to God. This is the way that we have a closer relationship with Him. When we lean our head next to God and say, God, whisper to me. Whisper to me. And that you show God respect and honor because you make room for that. You make room for it. As a regular practice. Not once off, not throwing a bet to Him and saying, okay, I'll sit quiet for 5 minutes and see if you're going to talk to me. Uh-uh. But a regular development of my relationship with Him. This is so important. It's more important. Remember when one time we studied James? I can't remember whether it was, I know I preached on James and we've done a Bible study on Wednesday night. Is that he says, listen more than you speak. And we talked about the fact that God gave us one mouth and two ears, so He expects us to listen double time. Twice as much as we talk. Don't you like it when somebody tells you, oh, I really enjoy being with you. You're such a good listener. Or you really listen to me. You feel special. You feel like, wow, that person likes me. You know, they really listen to me. And that's the person you want to go to if you have some problems. Because they'll listen to you. Doesn't God want you to listen to Him? Want me to listen to Him? So, as we come to a close, I just say, lean in to His whispers. Just because you can't hear a sound doesn't mean it's not there. Consider all the distractions there are in your life. How can you deal with them? And it has to be proactive. Don't say, oh, when the world gets quiet. Well, excuse me, it's never going to get quiet. You have to listen for and desire the Holy Spirit in your life. And be alert to the situations around you. Scripture speaking to you. Open or closed doors. People in your life. The promptings of your heart. Listen to discern these things, for it's part of prayer. It's our part of desiring to be near to God. Of taking that step toward Him in love and dependence. Now, I don't know if any of you were, let me think, when was this? Was anybody, who was alive in 1970? Well, there's only a few of us. My goodness, hey guys, we need to form our own group. Anybody remember Simon and Garfunkel? Okay, this is when songs meant something. The sound of silence. I don't know if you know the words, but it goes something like this. Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams, I walked alone narrow streets of cobblestone. Neath the halo of a street lamp, I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence, and in the naked light, I saw 10,000 people, maybe more, people talking without speaking. People hearing without listening. People writing songs that voices never share. And no one dared disturb the sound of silence. Fool, said I, you do not know silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words, like silent raindrops, fell and echoed in the wells of silence. And the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashing out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said, the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls and tenement halls and whispered in the sounds of silence. I read something written by Simon and Garfunkel about what some of the things they meant in the song. And this is what one of them said. We wanted to highlight the inability of people to communicate with one another, emotionally, particularly. So what you see around you are people unable to love one another because of detachment and ignorance of one another. When you see the racism, the discrimination, the walls that groups put up all around us and all around the world, part of it is fueled by the fact that we don't want to know each other. We don't want to hear their stories. We don't want to let them into our lives. Because if we did, we might have empathy. If we did, we might somehow have some of our thoughts change or some of our ideas change. And so this is something important that we need to see. God went to the cross for every person on earth. And when we begin to see the world through his eyes, we develop a compassion, empathy, and desire to love like God loves. And I believe we learn this by listening to him. We learn from him. I've learned more about who God is. So much more than 40 years ago when I first said yes. So I pray that we will all be on this journey. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you have given us prayer as a gift. Prayer not as a monologue of us coming and telling you what we want, when to do it, how to do it. But Lord, first and foremost, we want a relationship. And you, that's what you want. You gave us prayer as a gift so we would talk to you and we would listen to you. That we could chat together. That we could learn about each other with no agenda. No things to accomplish, just to be. And Lord, you want us in that relationship just to be with you. How much when we love somebody that we want to be with them. And we want to hear them. God, help us to have that deep in our heart. For that is the basis of everything. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to read your word and to grow in it. And I pray that that's what we will do. In Jesus' name, amen.